Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You see, we think people who see someone who comes to Christ have a new life, they back up and say, I have no frame of reference for that. I wish I had faith like that. We all have the same amount of faith, ladies and gentlemen. It's just what we put our faith in. And when someone puts their faith into something other than Jesus Christ, and that occupies the core and the center of their life, therefore, it's no wonder that they have trouble believing. We all have the same amount of faith.
The truth is, when you cling to Jesus, He provides for you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, How to Make Decisions, and remind you that your faith doesn't mean you won't have hard times, but it does mean God will be there to help you when you do. So stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, How to Make Decisions, Part 2.
So let's seek to understand faith from the very, very beginning. When you decide who you want your plumber to be, it's a faith decision. You decide who you want to marry, faith decision. You decide if you need surgery, who your surgeon is going to be, a faith decision. Pretty important, wouldn't you say? How does this work? Let's take a plumber. All right, you got pipes that are rusted all over your house. Need to get a plumber. So you go and use what? Reason. Try to find a plumber who can do this. You use your mind, you use understanding, reason, and then you move to belief. Then you say, you know, I believe enough, I've investigated enough, and I have reason that this would be my plumber now. I believe he will do it. And then you commit and you give him the job. And once it is completed, all those processes, it's sort of tentative. It's sort of, you know, I don't know. But when it's completed and it works, you have certainty. Picking a mate. A lot of people are not married. You know why? They think they move from reason to certainty. Oh, I'm going to figure all this out. She's the right one. He's the right one. Bang, bang, I'm certain now. No. It starts with reason. Then you go through a belief. You begin to put it together. And then you make a commitment, which may be engagement. And then when you say, I do, and he says, or he says, I will, there is the certainty that comes. Faith has three basic steps. You don't move from reason to certainty. Let's take a surgeon. Your GP says you need surgery. You go and try to pick a surgeon. You use reason, right? Good idea. You use reason. And then reasonably, you think this is the person that can do it. Then you have a certain belief about methodology and how it will be done. And then you make a commitment. In that commitment, you lie on that table, put that thing over, count backwards to whatever. That's pretty committed, isn't it? Commitment. And then following the surgery, things go well, and then you have what? Certainty. So faith isn't just something, well, pie in the sky over there. Faith isn't something that we say, well, Christians have faith and non-Christians don't have faith. No, we all have the same amount of faith. The difference is what you put your faith in, what I put my faith in. For example, let's look at, go back through and talk about reason. Understanding, that's where we start. Scientists normally operate by faith. Scientists do not discover a whole lot of things through inductive reason. What is that? They don't say, well, I see this over here, and I see that over there, and understand that molecule over there, and this works over here. And they put all this together inductively, and they come to a conclusion. Something that works, something that's accurate. Normally, that's not the way science works. Science works with a faith assumption, with a thesis, with an idea, and a concept, and then this is deductive reasoning. They begin to deduce from that evidence as to whether or not that faith assumption is accurate. Science operates by faith, primarily. And so we look at the universe. Godless people say, boy, the universe came together by chance. It is all came by accident, by atoms coming together back in some primeval moment. Billions of years ago, it just evolved. Let me tell you something. To say this universe came together by chance is like saying there was an explosion in a print shop and out produced the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. Man, what are the odds of that? Explosion and a print shop and you have a dictionary perfectly put together. What are the odds in that? Ladies and gentlemen, the odds of that happening are less than the odds that this universe would come together without a designer. Abraham Lincoln, I said it recently, Abraham Lincoln says, you go to outer space, you look back on the earth, you may be an atheist. He said, you stand on the earth and look at outer space, he said, you can't be an atheist. So the idea that all of this came, for example, decisions in your life, faith choices that we make. What if you think that you came into being by chance, that all human beings are here by chance? We came from some primeval mud puddle there. We came here by chance. By chance, something that was inorganic became organic by chance. If you believe that you're here by chance, or if you're here because you have been designed by a designer, what a difference, by design or chance. That makes all the difference in the world in how we make decisions every day of our life. What's right, what's wrong, what will work, what will not work, and these are faith decisions. So faith is reason. Reason. The idea to say, well, you know, I don't have faith that you have in the church. People here who are not Christians, somebody stand up and tell how Jesus Christ came in their life and changed everything, gave them a fresh new beginning, a new outlook on life, and there's a freshness there they've never known. Somebody's not a Christian, say, boy, you know, I wish I could believe that, but I don't have enough faith. If somebody from Mars came down to this earth, and we explain to them about procreation, how we cooperate with God and produce life, and the Marsman would say, I can't even imagine that. We procreate by the exchanging of earwax. I have no frame of reference. You see, we think people who see someone who comes to Christ have a new life, they back up and say, I have no frame of reference for that. I wish I had faith like that. We all have the same amount of faith, ladies and gentlemen. It's just what we put our faith in. And when someone puts their faith into something other than Jesus Christ, and that occupies the core and the center of their life, therefore, it's no wonder that they have trouble believing. We all have the same amount of faith. All, we have the same progressiveness. This is development from reason to belief to commitment and then to certainty. That's how it works. Someone who says, I just need more faith. Let me tell you something. Let's talk about security of believers, for example. Once saved, always saved. Oh, we Baptists love that one. Why do we believe that? It's taught in the Bible. But let's say it another way. Let's say, for example, how are we saved? If we're saved by doing good and not doing evil, we could lose our salvation, couldn't we? If that's how we're saved, it's because when we begin to do evil and not good, we'd be lost. We were saved by doing good and not evil. Now we can be lost by doing evil and not good, right? But we're not saved by doing good by works. We're saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are eternally secure. Logical. Faith. And we, when we wander away from God in Christ and we slide back because we are in Christ, we know that and our faith begins to operate and we feel like someone who is no longer at home in this life. We become a bomb. You know what a bomb is? A bomb is something that in the center, in the core, there is a compound that is unstable. That's the reason it's a bomb. And if your life and my life, there's a compound that is unstable, we haven't blown up, but we will blow up. We're bombs. In the center of your life and my life, when there's God in Jesus Christ, he gives us stability. Stability. And we understand this through reason and through belief. You see, as Christians, we look back on the facts of history. You and I can believe that Christmas is real. God visited this earth in human flesh. Incarnation, you could believe that. We can believe that Jesus died on the cross for all your garbage and my garbage. We can believe that, our substitute. We can believe that God raised him from the dead. We can believe that, the resurrection, Easter. But you can believe that, but it really doesn't become yours until that which happens in the past affects how we live in the present. In other words, we have to live on the basis of the gospel, on the basis of what Jesus has done. Now, Peter and Paul were brought up as Jews, right? And they were taught that a Gentile is anybody who's not a Jew in the Bible. If you're either a Jew or a non-Jew. If you're a non-Jew, you're a Gentile. And Peter and Paul were taught that Gentiles could never know God. Why? Because their pedigree and because of their practice. Their pedigree, a Gentile, is not from Abraham. A Jew's pedigree is from Abraham. A Gentile's practice is not keeping the law. A Jew's practice is keeping the law. Therefore, a Gentile could never know God. But you read the book of Acts. There is Peter over there, and he gets with Cornelius, who was a Gentile, a centurion, and he tells Cornelius about God in Christ, and zip! Cornelius, a Gentile, accepts Jesus Christ and becomes a Christian. There's a problem. Peter had no problem. He saw that this Gentile had become a Christian. He saw that the performance of Jesus was put in his life. The pedigree of Jesus was put in his life. So as a Christian, so Peter went over there and loved eating breakfast with him, and he fell in love with bacon. Little eyes of Jesus. And Peter just loved the way the Gentiles ate, but some big shots from Jerusalem came. Some of the family of James there in the strict Judaism who believe you had to take all the practices of Jew after you received Christ as Messiah. And they saw that Peter was eating with the Gentiles. They heard about it. So while they were there, Peter didn't eat with Cornelius anymore. He did without bacon. Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, he faced Peter with this hypocrisy. He said, Pete, if these Gentiles are really Christians and you've been told that everything is clean, don't change how you live, because those who come who haven't yet caught up with what it means to be born again and a child of God. He looked in Peter's face and pointed that out to him. This is what happens to us, ladies and gentlemen. We know all these facts historically, but we have to take them and incorporate that into our lives and discover this is how we then live. Oh, I'm burdened with my sin. I can't handle this. We have to live on the basis our sin has been covered by the blood of Christ. We're forgiven. Don't let that beat you down and keep you down. Live on the basis of that. That's a part of the belief system that we have. And then finally, look at the last thing we see here. Remember, we're talking about faith, reason, belief, doctrine, what we have. Then there comes commitment. You're walking on the edge of a cliff, slippery rocks, and you slide and you start falling down that cliff hundreds of feet below. And as you're sliding down, you see ahead a branch sticking up out of the cliff. You're going to slide right by that branch. How much faith is it going to take for you to grab hold of that branch? Huh? Oh, it's good. No, it's going to take, no. It's not going to take hardly any faith, is it, when you're sliding down that cliff to grab that branch? But once you grab that branch, that's a little faith that you have, but that branch in its strength will hold you up and save you. When we extend our hand to Jesus Christ, we extend our hand to him. He grabs us and he puts in you and me his pedigree. He's the Son of God. Is that a pretty good family to be in? He puts in you and me his practice, a life of perfection. Is that enough for you and me? And therefore, that gives us salvation. Faith. It works everywhere. We're on top of our game, we're on the bottom of our game. Faith. What is it? Faith. How do we get it? Faith. We can't lose it. Once we're in Christ and Christ is within us, and then we can handle whatever life puts in four of us on our plate. And that is the certainty of our faith. We see it works. It applies. It keeps us going. It sees us through. We were saying earlier, it is well with my soul. I was in Jerusalem, some of us, about a month or so now. And I went to a little hotel there. It's been there for many, many years. That hotel was bought by the Spafford family. And Horatio and Anna Spafford, you think it is well with my soul, it goes back to what happened. The Chicago Fire was in, I think, 1871. I'm not sure. In that fire, Horatio Spafford was a lawyer, owned property in Chicago, very wealthy, and everything he had was wiped out. He sent his wife and four little daughters to London to go to a D.L. Moody crusade to try to have a moment of getting over their tremendous loss. On that voyage from New York to London, the middle of the Atlantic, the ship went down. All four daughters were lost. Anna was saved. Somehow she was on a board, and when she regained consciousness, she looked around. All four of her daughters had drowned. When she found safety there, was rescued, she sent a telegram back to her husband, who was coming over later to be with them, and it said simply, "Saved alone. What am I to do?" Horatio Stafford went over there, joined his wife, and they saw and were led to believe that God had a special calling for their life. And so they moved to Jerusalem, and they bought this house, which is now a hotel, And they begin to take in offerings. They begin to take in street people. They begin to feed and love and share with those people, Jews and Muslims, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did that for the rest of their life. And on the way over, Horatio Stafford asked the ship he was on to stop over the spot where his four little daughters had drowned months before. And there he wrote, "It is well with my soul. Peace like a river ascendeth my day," good things. "Sorrow when like sea billows roll," bad things. Said, "Whatever, whatever, whatever the cost, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." That, ladies and gentlemen, is faith in action.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, how can listeners practice making daily decisions by faith? Do you have a biblical way to evaluate your own decisions?
I pray regularly to have the wisdom of God. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I seek to acknowledge him in all my ways every single day. I fail many times. And then I ask in my total recognition that he is running my life, that he will give me wisdom in choices, in decisions, in everything I say, everywhere I go, and whatever I do, and whatever I read. And I'm working to have the mind of Christ, not just a brain that has facts, but have literally the mind of Christ. That gives us the ability in every season of life to represent our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Now, Dr. Young, Noah chose to step out in faith after hearing God's voice. How can our listeners evaluate the voice of God in their lives?
God sometimes shouts at us in the events of life, and sometimes he just speaks to us through other people. But in my experience, it's when I withdraw and get quiet that I am able to hear his still small voice. There's so much clutter and clamor in the world in every season, especially holiday seasons, especially the demands of life and the discussions of politics, the discussions of morality, the discussion of all the many crisis events we're confronted with all around the world. How super it is to be able to time out and let him speak to us. Be still, be quiet in the middle of all the racket of life, and let him speak. And then I trust the Holy Spirit will empower us to respond as Christ would have us to respond. The challenge for me and the challenge for every follower of Jesus is to develop the mind of our Lord and our Savior.
Thanks, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young encourages you to trust God's will for your life, even when you don't understand his reasons.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.